in both passages, somebody doesn't like it and seeks to put Jesus to death. And although there is no Bethlehem in John 11, there is a Bethany. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good songs, the good teaching, Lord. It's ironic, our brother here teaching us about these weeds, and we're singing this song, no more let thorns and thistles, and Lord, that's not this coming, that's the next coming. And Lord, it'd suit us fine if you came right before I even started. In the meantime, help us to be found faithful, sowing, planting, watering, plowing, whatever you'd have. Bless me now to your people, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, there's that glory, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And if you are any at all familiar, you know by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is dead. And so let's see what we can learn and apply today. Verse 1, now a certain man was, say it with me, man has a sickness, and the sickness is sin. And the proof that everyone has sinned is that they're going to die. We know the man started out sick and he ended up dying. The wages of sin is death. He starts out sick, he ends up dead. I'll get out on those streets sometime and try to give out the gospel, and someone will never fails. Someone will come and say, I'm not a sinner. And I usually ask them two things. I'll say, number one, I'm not going to ask your girlfriend. But number two is, you know the evidence that you're a sinner? You're going to die. And you know, technology has done a lot, basically to keep you miserable longer. But I'll tell you what they haven't cured. One born, one dies. All have sinned. And if all have sinned, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die, you're going to die. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. Now, last week we learned, but if you're saved, you're not going to die. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about prayers and reading the Bible, I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and a new birth, a time and a place when you can go back in your life and say, yes, that's the time I trusted Christ. That's the time he came in and took residence. You can pass from death unto life today. In Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. The Bible has the solution to death. Man, I remember one of my friends, we were out there, and you know, people, they don't regard God at all. They don't thank him before they eat their chicken dinner. They don't pray to him in the morning, in the noon. But then once something happens, how could God let this happen? How come God never gets the credit when things go good, but he always gets the credit when things go bad? Listen, Jesus Christ is not the problem of death. Sin is the problem of death. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is the solution to death. So old Lazarus is a good picture of mankind headed for death. Just everybody in Adam all die. But I like what it says there. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Although he's sick, although he's dying, God knows everything about him. God knows his name. God knows his address. God knows his family. And sometimes, listen, we get a loved one that's away from God, or maybe they've never come to God, and for years and years there's no movement to God. Sometimes it just seems like it's away from God. And we wonder if God has just sort of wrote them off. They don't want me. I don't want them. May I remind you that the Bible still says God is not willing that any should perish. Lazarus was sick, Lazarus was about to die, and Jesus was right on schedule. He knows what's going on. Sometimes, my dad passed this year, and sometimes I wondered after 30 years if God cared. Certainly it didn't seem like Dad cared. But I couldn't see what was going on inside. See, all as Mary and Martha saw was my brother's sick. My brother's going to die. But Jesus knew his name. I couldn't see with my dad what was going on in the inside. Listen, take hope. The question was not, does God care? The question is, do I care? The question is not, oh, did God just write him off? Listen, the question is, did I write him off? You ever give up on someone? I got enough to pray for without trying to pray for people that don't care. I know this probably doesn't happen to you, but I've been on them streets hearing sinners say things about Jesus Christ that about got me in the flesh. You know the ones that fight against God, the ones that are vile against God. And I'm, like I said, this probably doesn't happen to you, but I just don't. The verse to love those that hate you doesn't come to mind. In fact, part of me wishes they'd go to hell. You'll see. But that is not coming from the Spirit of God. Which brings us to our next point. They cared about the sick one. And I'm just preaching to myself. Is that okay? Do we care about sinners anymore? Do you have the same yearning and longing for sinners to be saved that you had 30 years ago? I don't. I couldn't stand it, man. I had to pray. I had to seek. If I had a long walk, when you were at Kodak when they had 60,000 employees, you parked a long ways away when you were a new employee, and I'd memorize scripture, and every once in a while someone would come alongside me walking in. It was probably a half a mile walk, and I remember thinking, I got to get this person the gospel. Man, sometimes I go through a whole day today and not even give someone the gospel. I wonder, do we care that they're sick and they're dying and there's still a hell awaiting lost sinners? So, do we care about sinners? Don't answer. Because the answer lies in our evangelistic works. Oh, I care. Hey, remember faith without works is dead? We'll be looking at that on the Monday the 9th, and that's the famous verse that the folks that believe you can lose your salvation, that's where they go to. Faith without works is dead. Well, I got some bad news if you believe that. If the passage was teaching that you could lose your salvation, you're not losing it from a sin of commission, you're losing it from a sin of omission. See, you don't believe someone loses their salvation because they don't do good works. You believe they lose their salvation because they're real bad. Man left the church years ago living with his girlfriend. That's not what the passage says. He said, if you see your brother in need and say, be warmed and fed, and send them on their way, in that context, faith without works is dead. That's not a sin of commission. That's not looking at pornography or smoking cigarettes or murdering somebody. That's not giving. One measure for our care for sinners that answers the question is our missions giving. How are we giving to get the gospel to the lost world? Those sisters looked at their sick and dying brother and said, we need help. And another measure is, do we take the good news outside the walls of the church? Faith without works is dead. How could he possibly be saved? You mean to tell me every person doesn't give the gospel out is not saved? That's what it says. If you believe faith without works is dead, you see that how a man is justified not by faith alone, but by works also? Ooh, I'm confusing you now, and that's the intention, because we think we see a passage and we know what it's saying. Oh, you must be able to lose your salvation because, like I said, he left the church years ago. He's living with his girlfriend, drinks and smokes and all that. That's not what it says. It says Abraham was justified. Well, what did he do? Bad. He didn't do nothing bad. He offered up his son. How's that for a faith without works is dead? Have you done that lately? Have you ever looked at a saint who's not tithing, not giving to missions, hasn't witnessed to a soul, and say, I don't know how they could be saved? Thank God James isn't teaching that. But I'll tell you what Mary and Martha teach us. They had a concern for a sick and dying brother. And I just pray that we haven't lost our concern. When you've been at it for 3 and 4 decades, man, and when you're in a day in which we live, when there is so much rejection and so much opposition, the tendency could be to not care. Let me drive it home a little bit closer. This is their brother. Their brother is sick. And some of you have spiritually sick siblings in the home, out of the home. Maybe they're the one away from church living with their girl, whatever it is. And you know what? You've stayed the course. You've paid the price. You've carried the cross. You've kept the standard. You've done right. And maybe that sick brother or sister just questioning the whole thing. And here's what the older brother tendency is. Because I've seen it. I've heard it from our young people. They know better. They're just a prideful, self-centered sinner. They know better. Don't feel sorry for them. Listen, that's not the Spirit of God. You know what they need? They need mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. I heard tell of a woman appealing to the mercy of the court. I think she was Irish or Scottish, and I've been working on my Irish and Scottish accent for this, and I just can't get it. But she was appealing for her son, and she said, Your Honor, I'm appealing to the mercy of the court for my son. And the judge said, He doesn't deserve mercy. And she said, "That's why I'm appealing for it." Do we care? Do we care about the sick without? Do we care about the sick within? These girls cared about their brothers. And let us never forget, no matter how straight you are, that if he should mark iniquities, who should stand? Yeah, but I'm spiritual and they're not. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. This verse bothers me. In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Almost as if there's a little umbrella of protection around you. But when he sees that attitude, that older brother attitude, and I'm not saying rebuke before all that others may fear. I'm not throwing out half the Bible. I know what we do, but I don't want the protection taken off of me from being tempted because I'm just in judgment of someone else. These girls cared about their brother. Jesus came here 2,000 years ago. We celebrate it this time of year. And you know what it said? He came to save his people from their sins. And our measure of care and godliness and Christ-likeness is not just the length of the skirt or the height of the shirt or the tapering of the haircut. It comes by taking that message out and having mercy on those within. God help us. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him. They knew that they didn't have it in their own power to help. So what did they do? Verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, "We got to get a hold of Jesus," saying, say the next word, "Lord." They could only appeal to the one that could help. To whom shall we go? The world is sick. The world is dying. Without and within. But you have the words of eternal life. What are we going to do? Our brother's sick. We better start with Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And if we are ever going to get help in 2024 in a sicker than ever. We talked about sickness last week. Whoever got sick in the summer? Whoever got sick where you lost your taste and smell for months. Hey, you think the physical sickness is bad? Have you ever seen such spiritual sickness? I'll tell you how we're going to reach this world if we are. We need some help. Maybe in the 70s and 80s you could stick up a sign in front of a storefront and people would come. Or maybe 10 years ago you could start a little rock band in a little rec center and people would come. But brethren, this world is sick. We need to get a hold of God if we're going to reach them. And I don't even mean win them. I'm just talking about letting them hear. We need the Lord. So these girls got a little problem. They knew who to get a hold of. But now the question would be, how would they get a hold of him? And that's what we need. We need to get a hold of Jesus. And here's a great Bible principle. Verse 3, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They appealed to his attributes when making their request. I mean, it's almost kind of funny. You know, he whom thou lovest, as if Jesus doesn't know he loved them. Obviously, the sisters knew that Jesus loved them. But there is a pattern in the Bible that seems to move the hand of God like none other. And it's appealing to him based on his attributes. Psalm 25. Verse 6. It's, I don't want to say it's comical, funny. I mean, verse 6. Remember, you're telling God to remember something? Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. You've not forget about them, have you? For they have been ever of old. Watch this. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, not for me, for you. He didn't forget. He didn't forget his mercies. He didn't forget his loving kindness. Why are you telling him to remember? Listen, he didn't forget, but he likes the fact that here that we haven't forgotten. And that moves him. I like what he said there. Verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth. You know what he said in Hebrews? He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. If God forgets anything, it's your sins if they're under the blood. Go to Psalm 69. Do we care about the sick? Do we care about moving the hand of God? Man, if there's ever not a time to quit, it's now. For context, look at verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. You know who that's talking about. Look at verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Look at verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar drink. You know who we're talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ on the cross. How's that as an example to pray? And I read it already, but look at verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Look at verse 8. I am become a stranger to my brethren, alien to my mother's children. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, verse 10, it was to me a reproach. And you know what he's doing? He's saying, remember your mercy. Hear me, O Lord. Why? Because your loving kindness is good. Not because of me. If we're going to get a hold of a sick and dying world in 2024, we're going to have to get a hold of God first. Going back some years, my prayer life was dry. I'm sure that never happens to you. Dry at best, sometimes non-existent. We'll say, you walk in the park for 2 hours every day, and you could be thinking about sin in the park. So I prayed about praying. And I thought, what if I just prayed the inspired, preserved words of God? So I started praying the Psalms. And you know, I was as a former Catholic, I was very hesitant because for years I just saw men open books and read prayers. And it really didn't come from the heart. So I knew I had to personalize the prayers. And so I had a little hand Bible. We didn't have these back then. And I just started praying the Psalms, threading in my own words. And you know what? That dry season, I was revived. It really, really helped. And I don't know where you are with that, but if you're stuck, just open up the Psalms and pray the inspired, preserved word, personalize them, and I'll tell you what, it'll bring your prayer life back to life. For you that weren't here at the time when we applied to our town here for a special use permit, because this is somewhat of a residential area. At the time, you know, we were meeting at the building down in Charlotte, the city of Rochester, and we were meeting on Tuesday evening, Sunday morning. And so when we came in, we filled out this use permit. They said, when are you going to meet? Tuesday evening, Sunday morning. Okay. And the things went, we built the building, and I can't remember when we moved in, but we were having what we used to call a street preachers convention. Public ministers from all over the country, really, and they'd come in, and we'd rent a hot air balloon and rise up over Niagara Falls and get those horns and preach out over Niagara Falls. We'd go to downtown Buffalo, and we'd preach one day in the public square in downtown Buffalo, and we'd go down to Rochester one day and preach one day. And it was a big time. We had 100 visitors coming in. I'm talking about sleepover, preachers, families. And about 2 weeks before that meeting, we were going to meet every morning, every evening, and then go out in the afternoon. I get a letter from the town. We hear tell you're having meetings outside the statutes of your special use permit. You said you were only going to meet Tuesday evening, Sunday morning. If you don't cease now, you're going to close. 2 weeks before a meeting. Guess what I did? I happened to be in that practice at that time. I think I was around Psalm 2 when it started. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth are set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. And man, I tell you that, though, I was just praying those Psalms and praying those Psalms. Of course, every other verse I'd have to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. They're going to shut us down. And they had a big meeting at our town. And I did, listen. Pray as if God does it all. No matter what you're going through, no matter who you want saving, your government, pray as if God does it all. Work as if you do it all. And I did, man. I looked at the laws. I called CLA. I studied. I got letters from our attorneys and all that. And up we are at the town board meeting. And our case is up to be heard. And there's people from this community I don't even know standing up looking at that board saying, we don't need less churches. We need more churches. These people aren't the problem. I'll never forget our one brother came in with his police uniform on, and this guy, it was ironic because he blasphemed. He said the name of our Savior. He said the name of our Savior. He goes, the troopers are here. And they said, what do you want? Well, we got a meeting coming up, and we have a Bible Institute now, and we have a missions conference now. Okay, so you want anytime you want to be there. Yes, we want anytime you want to be there. And it kills me to give Bill Clinton some of the credit. But really, he introduced a thing, and I can't remember what the name of it was, but that law is what our attorneys used that kept us open. You say, well, how did you make it through that? A person that really would I got to fix this. I couldn't fix it. but I personalized it and personalized it. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know who's sick, and I don't know who's dying physically, spiritually. I don't know what your financial situation is, but if you're dry and you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, open up those Psalms and make it personal. When you need mercy, remind him of his mercy. When you need grace, that's getting what you don't deserve to get you through, remind him of his grace. If you need protection, if you need provision, remind him that he is the source of all. This is no time to retreat. I'm conflicted about this war in Ukraine a little bit. How do you have a country that's drowning in debt and printing more money to give it somewhere else? That's the one side. But on the other side, man, these guys are going against a superpower and saying, we'll fight till we die. And that's just kind of motivating to want to help somebody out. It's dark out there. They're dying out there. They're sick out there. This is not the time to retreat. If anything, this is the time to mount up and fight in the spiritual realm. Our brother Lazarus is sick, and he's going to die, and we got to get a hold of Jesus. And I'll just give you an introduction to next time. And guess what happened? The sky opened, and the angels descended, and everything was solved. Jesus heard that, and he said, I think I'll stay over here for a couple more days. Let's stand. Here's my challenge today. Let's one verse. Maybe